Welcome to the Heaven's Devils podcast, a Forest Green Rovers podcast by two Americans who don't know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Sean. Insert Sean clip.
Heaven's Devils podcast. Four clean sheets, four sweet retweets.
All right. Well, as you can tell, Sean is not here for this little intro. We've been recording all day. Sean had stuff he had to do. So anyway, we got four interviews, four conversations in this episode. So you don't want to hear us talk. You want to hear our guests anyway. So I'm just going to give you a quick rundown of what's going to happen on this podcast. First of all, it's great to be back. We've been off for a little bit, on a little hiatus, simply because work and life just got so busy, so crazy for us. But we're back, baby, and we're back in a big way because we have the League 2 top scorer, the League 2, current League 2 player of the month, Maddie Stevens on the pod. Let's go, Maddie Stevens. Oh, my goodness. A great conversation. Great conversation with Maddie Stevens. He's already a fan favorite, but you're going to love this man even more after you hear him. He's the man. You are going to love Maddie Stevens. I mean, you already love him, but you're going to love him even more. So we have Maddie Stevens on. We also have, first of all, thank you for all the listeners who dropped us a DM, sent us questions. We couldn't get to all of them because we couldn't keep Maddie here for 5 hours, even though we wanted to. But we got to a lot of them, so thank you guys so much for that. We're going to keep doing that with our next guest as well. But so shout out to Maddie Stevens. Big thank you for coming on the pod. Then we talked to Lee. No, who do we talk to next? Yeah, we talked to Lee. We talked to Lee from Carlisle. Carlisle United. We get some insight on the best bars to go to. We get a little preview for our next upcoming match. After that, we talked to... Who do we talk to next? We talked to Statman! It's the return of Statman! And Statman has a fire stat, actually, about a FGR women's player. We talk a little bit about the men's team, a little bit about the women's team. Shout out to the women's team, though, by the way, who just today had a massive, massive comeback against Torquay United. I don't know if I'm saying that name right. Torquay? It looks like Torquay to my dumb American brain. But knowing the British, you say it, I don't know, Torquay. I hope I'm saying it right. Heard it's a beautiful place down there in Torquay. Anyway, huge comeback. We were down 2-0. Pair of goals brought us back. Huge momentum for the FA Cup on Sunday as well. We got to fill the new lawn, man. We got to fill the new lawn on Sunday for that women's FA Cup match. So if you're listening to this and you're not going all the way up to Hadrian's Wall for that away Carlisle game, get your butt to the new lawn. Go support the women's team in the FA Cup. Huge game. And then after we talked to Statman and he drops some stat nuggets. And by the way, it was just great to chat with Statman again. It's been a bit too long. I miss that man. Chris Latham, he's the man. Then we talked to Shai Yazdi from Israel. Let's go, Shai. So you may know Shai if you're on FGR Twitter. Shai's a big fan of FGR. He lives in Israel. We found out he was going to be in New York City, and we're like, oh my God, it coincides with the Tranmere match. We got to meet up. We wanted to do a big bar event, but unfortunately, a lot of FGR NYC was out of town this weekend, so we couldn't get that together. But anyway, we had a little shindig at our place. We had a few too many really crappy American beers, and then we talked with Shai after we've had a few of those crappy American beers at the end. So anyway, we got Shai on here. Sorry, Shai. I keep mispronouncing his name. Shai. Shout out to Shai, man. Shai was awesome. It was so cool to meet him. That's the beautiful thing, you know, about this journey. It's been meeting amazing fans, Forest Green Rovers fans from all over the world, like Shai. So it was so cool. So cool to get to meet Shai. We've been interacting for the last, you know, year plus on Twitter. So just awesome. Awesome to meet Shai. Anyway, let's get into this pod. We got a big pod today. We talk about the last match against... Who did we just play? Oh, yeah. There, my wife just shouted in the background, Tranmere. That's right, Tranmere. My brain is fried, people. We had a huge match against Tranmere. Shout out to my wife. Who knew that in the background? Yes. We're going to talk about Tranmere, the Tranmere draw with Maddie. He's going to give us his thoughts. We're going to give him our thoughts, even though he didn't ask for them. Then we'll preview Carlisle. It's going to be a fun pod. stick around. But before we get to Matty Stevens, let's go to Kip Kowalski, who's joined by the Bayou Bibi, Tony Graw. And they have another announcer, American Steven Matthews. Funny enough, it sounds a lot like Matty Stevens, but I can assure you it's not. It's Steven Matthews. So let's get to it. Kip, Tony, Matty, sorry, Steven, take it away.
Kip Kowalski here at the live at the New Lawn, and I'm joined by the Bayou Bibi, Tony Graw.
Bonjour.
And we are joined with new reporter Steven Matthews.
Say hi.
Hi.
There we go. We go to the 16th minute when Jameel Green New Deal Matt tries to pass critical climate change infrastructure legislation in Congress, but Republican Ross Doodoo Hahn puts the filibuster and denies him.
To the 35th minute, and Maddie Rachel from Friends Stevens tries to seduce penologist Ross Jilla Doohan with his baby blue eyes, but Doohan solo channels the force and directs the ball wide.
May the force
the
be with you.
Still nil-nil.
Oh, mon dieu. And then it was Luke McGee who's called pounding that 40th. We say Caron and en français. But with the shot stopper making a good save down to his gauche, or left, from Big Mac Callum McDonald's effort.
I believe they call it a Mackie Ting in England, Tony. We go to the 59th minute where Matty Stevens almost finds the net, but comes up just a few inches short. We've all been there, haven't we, Tony? Keep it clean, Tony. Keep it clean. He finds the crossbar, still nil-nil.
In an act of devitis, Javina Convention Underwear Medal, Javina Stevens is subbed off, but Jake Young comes on, fires a shot, but it's safe, and Jake Neil Young is singing.
Keep me searching for an opening goal. You keep me searching, and I'm growing old. Keep me searching for an opening goal. Oh, perfect. Play the harmonica, Tony.
There we go.
No, Tony, you got one more line.
Oh, no. I completely lost my place there. By 24 attempts on the goal from the host, we still finish a goalless draw like two beady crocodile eyes out of the box. It was those securing the fourth clean sheet. Right, much like me after laundry day on a Sunday, and with Rob Edwards' men remaining top of the division. All right, we don't really understand scoreless draws in the U.S. here. We always need a winner, but we were feeling good after this match.
All right, there you have it. Kip Kowalski, Tony Graw, and Steven Matthews. Brilliant stuff by them as always. Let's get in to our amazing conversation with the amazing human, Matty Stevens, a fan favorite. He's going to be even more of a fan favorite after you hear this man speak. He's such a great dude. Take it away, us and Matty.
In the lime green electric shorts, officially weighing in at 157 pounds. Along with Floyd Money Mayweather, he's one of only two boxers who finished their boxing career undefeated, according to Wikipedia. The current League Two Player of the Month, the current League Two Top Goal Scorer, and former four-time youth heavyweight world champion of the world from Guildford, England, fighting out of Pinewood Star ABC in Crowthorne, England. I hope I'm pronouncing this right. And fighting for Forest Green Rovers in Nailsworth, England. Quick as a cat, ready for combat, Matty Money, get even, give you something to believe in, Matty Stevens!
Matty. Welcome to the pod, Matty, welcome to the pod. How was my boxing Michael Buffer announcer voice, guys?
Oh, Sal, I don't know about the money part. I wish I had loads of money, but yeah, no, it's good. Very good.
It's a little-known fact. You were a boxer, Matty, and we're going to talk all about that in a minute. But first, how are you doing? How are we feeling, Matty, after yesterday's draw? It's a beautiful Sunday in wherever you live, it looks like. It's nice and sunny there. How are we feeling, Maddie?
Nah, it's all good. A bit disappointed with the result yesterday. Obviously, 0-0 wasn't the worst against a good Tranmere side, but I felt like we had enough in the game and got into enough good positions to go and win it. But it was what it was. On another day, we could have won 2-3-0. So,
yeah. But
all good.
Oh, all good. We're going to ask you a little bit more about that in a minute. But assuming there was another match yesterday, not just the Forest Green Rovers, but the boxing match last night. I assume you watched it, right? What are the thoughts on it from the four-time youth heavyweight world champion of the world, Matty Stevens? What are your thoughts on the match last night?
Yeah, I thought AJ got sucked into to Usyk's plan. I think that he was the bigger man, and I felt like he had to show that on the fight, and I don't think he did. I think he tried to get in a boxing war with Usyk, and there was only one winner when it come to that. And I was hoping to see a little bit more of a change towards the later rounds, and it never did. It probably got worse for AJ. So one thing it's definitely put into my mind is that neither of them would beat Tyson Fury.
Sure.
Interesting. So I love that you said that. Because, well, first of all, very interesting insight from someone who actually was a boxer. It's very easy for all of us, like amateurs, to criticize or whatever, come with our own analysis of boxing. But it's great to hear someone who's actually stepped in the ring, because I'm sure you have a completely different perspective. Sean, what, you were going to say something?
Yeah. So I was just saying, it seems like you agree with unanimous decision result there.
Yeah, definitely. I thought that I had 8-4. And I just felt like, if there was another round or two in it, which obviously I think he would have been stopped. I think that last round, that last 15 seconds or whatever was in that last round, if that was another 20 seconds longer, 10 seconds longer, the referee could have jumped in. And I just thought he boxed. It was a beautiful game plan, and it paid off. I thought he boxed beautiful.
Nice. Wow. And you mentioned Fury there. So we actually asked for a bunch of listener questions, and we got a ton in our DMs. So thank you everyone who sent a question. We're not going to be able to get to all of them all today, unfortunately, because we can't keep Maddie here all day with us. Although we'd like to, he's got to live his life. So we can't keep him here for 5 hours, but awesome questions from everybody. We're going to get to as many as we can, but actually that brings up a good listener question here. From John at Artie Binuski on Twitter. Shout out, John. He says, Fury or Johnson? I think you've already said that. But Fury or Johnson, and would either of them be able to defeat peak Mike Tyson? And I'm assuming he's talking about Tommy Fury, right?
I'm guessing so.
I'm kidding about Tommy. It's not Tommy. Tommy's the brother, right? Like the model brother?
Tommy's the brother, yeah. He boxes. He's the one who's looking to fight. Is it? I think it's Jake Paul, isn't it? Not Logan.
Yeah.
It was the younger Fury, the guy that was on Love Island as well.
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
That's Tommy, right?
Tyler.
The great Tyler. Body, the great looks. It's so funny that he and Tyson are brothers, because they look completely different.
Yeah, they do look different. Yeah, especially when one's but nine.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so Fury or Joshua? I think you already said Fury, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, you said Johnson. I thought, who's Johnson?
Oh, sorry, Joshua. My bad.
Do you know what? I was always a Joshua. I always thought Joshua when they first turned pro, but I think Fury's got better as he's got on, and I would never write him off. Never, not no more. I think what he done to Deontay Wilder in his last fight and that, I can't see. And obviously, previous fights, what Anthony Joshua's had, I just feel like Tyson Fury definitely wins that one for me.
Wow. And then what about Mike Tyson? Would either of them be able to beat peak Mike Tyson?
Yeah. I think peak Mike Tyson was, he was a freak of nature. He was scary. He was so different to fighters nowadays. But the only thing I would say about that is obviously the height difference. I think, I don't know if Mike Tyson ever fought someone who's as big as Tyson Fury. 6'9". Massive difference.
As crazy reach.
As good as what I think Mike Tyson was, and he definitely goes down as a legend in the sport, I think he'd find it very difficult to beat Tyson Fury. So, and that's
on that sense, I'd probably say Tyson Fury on points.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, you could hedge your bets and say Tyson's going to win.
Just there we go.
Hey, Tyson, yeah.
Just don't specify which one. I love it. Another actually listener question. Awesome. From the Premier Boxing Club, the pride of Crowthorne. I hope I'm saying Crowthorne right. Our friends at Pinewood Star. They ask, who's your favorite boxer and who's your favorite footballer?
My favorite boxer is Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, Floyd Money Mayweather.
Why? Again, I don't think people who haven't, some people do, but not all people who haven't been in boxing appreciate how good he was. You know, I know he was sometimes the most exciting fighter as for knockouts and things like that, but to see what that man done to some world-class fighters, including like Canelo, who's probably the pound-for-pound king at the minute. I don't think he lost the ground against Canelo. I know he was young, but Mayweather was old. I think Floyd Mayweather was just, he was so good to watch. And as for footballer, I'd probably have to say Cristiano Ronaldo. I just think he's just a legend of the sport. In my opinion, he just pips Messi for the goal.
Oh, that was beautiful, right?
Listen, you couldn't put either one of them two. But for me, I love Ronaldo. I think he's fantastic.
You know, I think Ronaldo brings that kind of boxer and pugilist training to soccer. He's like 36 years old, but he has like the body of probably like a 19 or 20 year old. So I feel like he takes his training so seriously, almost like a fighter would, right?
Gary, listen, obviously when you get to that level, I think there's things what Ronaldo can do what others can't, with obviously money-wise and things like that. You know, if I could have my own personal chef every day and things like that, it falls in my house. But listen, you still got to do it, even if you have got the money to do that stuff. And he's to be able to do what he's doing at the minute at his age, I think is scary. I think he's definitely, in my opinion, the greatest player of all time.
Wow. Are you happy he's back in England, I assume?
I think everyone is. I think England's the best league in the world at the minute. I think we've took little bits of like Lukaku from Italy, we've took Varane from Spain and Sancho and from Germany. I think we've took so many good players from other countries. I think England's got four or five of the best teams in the world at the minute. So so exciting to watch.
And not to mention, also bringing in two other international stars, Regan Hendry from Scotland, Nicky Cadden from Scotland. But I agree. I mean, the Premier League is the best league in the world. It's also, I think, the most entertaining in terms of the top leagues. I think League Two is way more entertaining than the Premier League. But in terms of like, you know, tier one football around the world, it's technical. So fun to watch.
Definitely.
So let's move to League Two, though. Let's move to our favorite league until we get promoted. Then it'll be League One. But anyway, let's move to our current favorite league, League Two. Let's talk about yesterday's match really quick. You mentioned some of your thoughts in the beginning. So our fan, you know, perspective, now that we've had kind of a day to settle, well, you know, we think it's a decent result. Like you said, maybe we're a little disappointed because we had some good chances. But Tranmere are just so hard to break down. They're the best defensive team in the league. Only allowed 3 goals all season, just the lowest by far of anyone. They only scored 4. A man by the name of Matty Stevens has scored 6, just saying. He scored more than the entire team. But anyway, we had some decent chances yesterday, especially, you know, you with the header, and then you with that curling shot that just hit the crossbar. But, you know, so often, you know, football is just a game of luck. And, you know, just an inch, you know, lower, that's in, or a few inches to the right, and that header's in. And it just seems like, you know, we didn't have the luck yesterday, but we'll take the clean sheet, we'll take the point, and we'll move on. But I want to hear your perspective, you know, as someone who actually played in the match. How do you sum up kind of what happened or your feelings on the match?
You know, I thought everyone played very well in the team. I thought from front to back, we all done very well. I felt like the spaces was massive. We got into some very good positions, and like I said, you know, I probably should have done a little bit better the header. I didn't know where the goal was. I just was judging off Jammer's knockdown sort of thing, and and try to get a good contact. It wasn't to be. On another day, I probably would have scored. And then obviously, the one, like you said, it will hit the bar an inch lower, and it would have gone in the top corner. But
yeah,
overall performance, I think the boys should come away proud. Mm-hmm. We were disappointed, obviously, because that's the group of players we got. We want to win every game, and when we feel like there was a good opportunity to do that, it is disappointing. But you know, a point to Tranmere, who in my opinion will be up there by the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it isn't a bad result at all, especially if we can go to Carlisle on Saturday and go and pick up 3 points.
Yeah, and I want to talk about Carlisle in just a minute, but staying on Tranmere for a minute, you know, there was a ton of time wasting that you know, in this one by the Tranmere players. How frustrating is that for you as a player, and how do you respond to that? Like, you got to keep your cool because you don't want to get carded. But like, I don't know, do you talk trash to their players, or like, how do you respond to that, and how frustrating is it?
Frustrating, and especially in the game yesterday, because like I said, we were getting balls out wide, balls were coming. So as a striker, I was just thinking, oh, get the ball, I want to play, get it out wide, get it to Cats, get it to Kane, and I just thought, and then when they're, you know, I think, like you probably heard at the end of the game, the cheers from their fans, that it was like they won the game. I think they were very happy with the point.
They adopt the Floyd Money Mayweather approach, like all you know, banks of four. So when you can, you know, nick that point on the road, it feels like victory, right?
I felt like in the first half, I felt like they, you know, they tried to counterattack us a little bit, but then I felt like they, you know, the second half we were just completely on top, and I just, especially when they had the man sent off, I back us to get a goal. But like I said, it wasn't to be. We were unlucky. They were doing a lot of time wasting. I think even when I think one of our fans chucked the ball on one of their goalkeepers.
I think he was just trying to give the ball back to the goalkeeper. That's all. He was trying to speed up play.
But their defender was being clever about it, because he was
sort
of with our fans, but at the same time, he knew that he was wasting time by doing that, you know?
Exactly.
So, play, get on with the game, but like I say, on another day, we could have come away with a 2-3-0 win, but it wasn't to be. But like I said, coming Saturday, go and get a win Saturday, and you know, it won't be a bad result at all.
Amen.
We hope you guys are feeling confident and strong, because we felt great about the style of play and the way that looked tendency in the second half. So we just want to keep that momentum going. And yeah, you know, we know how much a goal means to you, like we saw at Stevenage, right? A couple match days ago. So yeah, we just love that fire and that drive is in all the lads. That's what we see, you know, even coming through the screen when we watch these matches.
Yeah.
We've got a good group. It's one of the best, if not the best group I've ever played with throughout my career. So, you know, all the boys are backing each other. We'll give, you know, if anyone makes a mistake, everyone's there to back them, you know. And I believe if I make a mistake, I've got the person to my left or to my right to back me up. So, you know, the boys are great, and yeah. As for scoring goals, it felt good the last goal I scored, especially. But no, yeah, it's a good place at the minute. It's a really good place.
Yeah, I wondered. It's so much. There's so much positivity, but kind of the opposite of positivity. I'm just wondering, do you players like? Do you have the same rivalry against Tranmere that we do as fans? Like, do you hate Tranmere too, just like we do, or is it more of like a fan, you know, / club rivalry, and the players just kind of stay professional and see it as another game?
I know about the rivalry. Before the game went on, I know, obviously, from past games, but because I've not been involved in them past games, it was just another team to myself. I can't speak for the other boys. Some of the other boys might feel a little bit different, but for me, I know what it meant to the fans, so it's always a little bit nicer to get the win for the fans, but... But yeah, obviously, where I've not played in the games before, where it was such big games and whatever else went on, it's just another team to me, really. But it would have been nice to get the win for the fans, just to leave. But like I said, it wasn't to be. Hopefully, we do them away.
Yeah.
Yes, let's go. Let's do it in front of their home fans. So moving to Saturday, you mentioned it already. We got Carlisle next up. You know, matches come thick and fast here in League Two. So on to the next one. We put this one behind us. I mean, the match was just yesterday, so you probably haven't had a lot of time. But any thoughts on what we need to do to get all 3 points when we go up north of the wall, up to Scotland on Saturday?
Yeah, listen, Carlisle's a very hard place to go, especially when you're cut. Mm-hmm. I think it takes us 4.5 hours, 5 hours. It'd be an overnight stay.
Yeah.
So it's a long one for us boys. So, it's, you know, that plays its part as well. But we'll go up there probably on the Friday and get ready for it. And, you know, at the minute, I'm going into every game confident, whoever we play in the league, it doesn't matter. I'm confident in the boys, and I think a big part will be to get off to a good start. If we can get an early goal, you know, I think we can go on to win 2-3-0. But, you know, if we don't, I'm still backing the team, especially with the defence at the minute and obviously the goalkeeper. You know, we're 2 clean sheets on the spin, 3 clean sheets on the spin.
Yeah.
You know, so that's all you can ask for them, really. So it's just down to us up front to put the ball in the back of the net, and luckily lately that's what we have been doing. Obviously the stats showing that we're top goal scorers in the league.
Yeah, we scoring goals for fun. It's been, and for us at home, it's just been such a joy to watch you guys, and especially for us dumb Americans, we love scoring, we love goals. That's what we need to see. We want to see goals, and you guys are delivering, so loving it. But I want you to tell us now a little bit about your story, Maddie. I want to, you know, you won 4 youth titles, you know, as a boxer, as a young boxer. You were Barnett's youngest ever player and youngest ever goal scorer. You've played on 8 teams in your short career. You're only 23 years old. Tell us about a bit about the athletic journey that has led you to us.
Yeah, well, I started off at obviously a local club, and I got picked up by Reading. From 8, so I was at Reading right up to I was 16, which is my local club. Obviously, they're a very good team, very good setup. Their academy's very good. I went to an all-boys school when I was 15 for 2 years. We were the first sort of group to do it. There was only 16 boys picked from the Reading team, and that was challenging, you know, moving schools, going from a boy-girl school to an all-boys school and training twice a day. And at that point, at the start, I was sort of still doing a bit of the boxing. And that made me stop doing the boxing, really, because it was just a little bit too much from training twice a day with the football and then coming home and trying to box and then fighting at such a high standard at that point. It was just other people had the training and the edge on me, and I just... At that point, it was a little bit too much. But yeah, I went from Reading, and then from Reading, I had a really good last season. I got 39 goals from midfield. I was a midfielder, believe it or not. I played an all defence field up front. Yeah, 39 goals. We was playing Cat Ace, was playing Man United, Liverpool every week. And I didn't get offered a scholarship. They offered me like this 1 year sort of thing, but didn't get offered a scholarship like the other boys, and you know, I was devastated, I was heartbroken, and I didn't know whether to pack the football in and go back to the boxing or not. And I went on a couple of trials, which I really didn't like. I didn't like the fact of going into a place where there's boys already signed. Look, at this point, a lot of boys were already given their scholars from these clubs, and I had to come in and, you know, try and show what I could do in such a short space of time. And I've always believed I've been more of a match day player, not really someone who stands out in training. You know, I like it when it comes to the real thing, to the match. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was difficult, but I went to Barnet, and I had a couple of friends there who was at Reading, a boy called Jack Taylor, who made me feel very welcome. And I enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed football again. They was in the conference at the time. And, you know, I probably could have signed for something a little bit higher, but I enjoyed it. And that was the main thing, really. It was the best thing I've done. And, yeah, my first season, I got 59 goals as a scholar.
Wow.
And yeah, I made a couple of appearances as in the first team under Martin Allen. Well, I thank a lot for, you know, his dad used to watch my dad box. He's from Reading, so, you know, that sort of helped a bit. But yeah, no, he gave me my debut, and that was an unbelievable feeling. And then I scored, obviously, at 16, I think it was, my first goal. And yeah, Barnet got promoted that year from the conference, went to League Two. And in the second season, I played a couple more games in League Two at 17. And I had quite a lot of clubs sniffing about, Crystal Palace, Swansea. And I signed with Peterborough because obviously the other clubs were sort of 21s football. And I wanted to play first team men's football. And I was told if obviously I'd done that at Peterborough, at such a young age, I would go again, I'd go higher, but not to a 23s sort of stage, I'd go to a first team. So I signed for Peterborough with Barry Fry. And, you know, I wasn't quite good enough at the start at Peterborough. There were some really good players there. Jack Marriott, I think he went on to win the Golden Boot. There was some Marcus Madison, some really good players at Peterborough. And in my second year, I went on loan at Kettering, and I think I got 38 goals in the conference itself. So I had a season at Kettering. I really enjoyed my time there. Fans were really, really good to me. And at that point, we had Ivan Toney and Matty Godden. So, you know, that Ivan Toney's a Premiership player now. Matty Godden's playing the Championship for Coventry. We had some really good players. Just a boy called Mo Issa for over £1 million. So he was going to be involved. So it was just, it was a hard time at Peterborough. As much as I was learning with the great players, some good players, it was hard. Right. There was goal scorers there, you know, there was really good players. Mm-hmm. But at that point, I felt like I was a bit down and whatever. But looking back on it now, I probably learned so much off training with them boys, and even your finishing practices after training with the likes of Ivan Toney and Godden and boys like that. You know, it was, it's done me the world of good. And then at Peterborough, obviously I went to Slough. I had a really good time at Slough. I think I got 13 goals in 16. Wow. I come back to Peterborough, they offered me a new deal, but at that point, I wanted to play football, and I didn't see me playing at Peterborough at that point. And I heard that Forest Green were interested, and that's when I went to Forest Green, and here we are today. Obviously, a couple of years down the line from being on and off with playing, finally got a little bit of a break.
Always is putting the ball in the back of the net, and it's making us fans so happy. Like, you know, we know you just have that desire and that skill, and we're just happy that you're able to express it. Like, you know, we didn't realize for you, it's like, yeah, you know, when the whistle goes and you're in that game, you know, the real game situation, that's when you really have your, you know, your laser focus and that eye for goal. But man, we're just reaping the benefits of it right now.
Yeah, we're so happy you're here. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Appreciate it. No, it's right, good. So I go into every game wanting to score, and you know, maybe sometimes even if I've played well, like yesterday, I thought I played quite well, but you know, I beat myself up a little bit too much when I don't score. You know, it's I want to score in every game, and like I say, sometimes I beat myself up a little bit too much if I don't. But
you can't help it. It's the boxer in you.
It's in me. I can't help it. It's just something that I've always had in me when I've grown up with football. But I think it makes me better for it anyway. So
I love it. I want to go back to boxing really quick because it's such a brutal sport. Like, it's such a mentally challenging sport. What life lessons did boxing as a young person teach you that you carry with you today as a footballer, as a person?
Yeah, well, boxing's obviously a massive discipline sport. You know, my granddad got me into the boxing, and my dad, and it brings something else out in you. You know, I was quite a shy boy when I was younger, and you know, boxing, you've got all these other boys around you, and it's a little team there, and it's great to make friends, and at the same time, you know, you go to shows and you box in, and after you've won, lost or whatever, you get the ring, your next friend's in, and and you're cheering him on. And you know, it's a discipline thing. It's massive. You know, you've got to be at the gym at a certain time. If not, you've got to do extra push-ups or sit-ups or whatever it may be. And it's, you know, I think boxing's really helped me, especially with like my nerve side of things. I don't think I can ever feel the nerves I used to feel going into a ring. Obviously, you knowing that the opponent wants to knock your head off. So, you know, when I'm going out to a football match, I still get a little bit of nerves because I want to do well. But at the same time, it'd never be the same nerves as what I used to get from boxing. So it's helped me in that way a lot as well with the football. Calms me down a little bit more and relaxes me before when I go out for a game.
Oh, that's great insight. And yeah, I mean, apart from like actual serious things that have like life and death consequences, although I guess boxing technically does have life and death consequences in some cases, but I just can't imagine anything that would be more nerve wracking than stepping into a ring, right before the match. Oh, and so credit to you and credit to anybody who's brave enough to get in the ring. What are you going to say, Sean?
Not just somebody that you're stepping in that wants to knock your head off. It's somebody that has trained a lot to knock your head off.
That's right.
Everything, you know.
It's like I say, I respect anyone who gets into the ring because, you know, it's not like football where if I'm having a bad day, I've got another 10 players behind me to get me through it. Boxing, if you're having a bad day, you're going to get hurt. And, you know, my brother used to sit before he boxed. He used to get that nervous, he'd sit, and yeah, I wasn't as bad as that. But yeah, now I used to get nervous, but in the end, it always come through in the end, so it was all right.
I love it. That's great insight, though, how it's kind of helped you manage nerves in football. It's not, you know, football is nothing like stepping into a boxing ring. I love that, too. You're right. And on the football pitch, you got so many other people around you to support you. In the ring, it's just you.
Football is like 100%, you know, boxing is 100% of the time the other person wants to knock your head off. Football, it's maybe like 5% of the time you can kind of knock your head off.
So, Maddie, what as two guys who a lot of people probably want to punch in the face, but we've never been punched in the face. What's it like getting punched in the face, Maddie?
Do you know what? The punch in the face weren't the worst. I think if you get hit with a good body shot, that takes some wind out of you, you know? I hit with a good body shot once from I was only young at the time, I was about 14, but I was sparring a man, he was about 23, just won the senior ABA title. When he was done, he's a little easier on me, obviously. And but I sort of thought, I tried to step it up again. He just let me know, he hit me with a body shot. And for the rest of that round, I was walking around and I was trying to catch my breath without showing it.
Yeah.
A good body shot is just as good as a...
All right, noted. Noted in case Sean and I ever step in the ring, which we won't. Let's move to football now. Another listener question actually here from, we'll call him Dave, FGR Fan 33. Dave, shout out to Dave. Shout out to FGR Fan 33. Dave, shout out Dave. So Dave asks, what's changed under help your goal scoring? And he has a follow-up question. What size is your training gear, and do you fancy giving him one of your training tops in a size XL? Let's go to Dave's first question first. But yeah, what is behind this kind of goal scoring transformation? I mean, last year you played 28 league matches, some with us, some with Stevenage. You scored 3 league goals. This season, you've already doubled your league goals from last season with 6 goals in just 9 games. You're currently tied for the League 2 leader, goal scoring leader. What's really made the difference between, you know, last season and this season?
I've got to be honest with you. The only difference is not me as a person. You know, I every day I go to train, I give 100%. Every match I play, whatever the circumstance, whether I'm starting or not starting, I give 100%. But the only difference is that I've had a bit of faith put into me by the manager and Rich, the assistant manager. That's the only difference, you know. And I've had a good run. I've been given a run of games. Don't get me wrong. I've scored in a lot of run of games at the moment, which has obviously helped. But I never got the opportunities. What, you know, you talk about Stevenage. I looked through some of my minutes at Stevenage the other day. I was coming on for 3-4 minutes. Mm. You know, yeah. I felt the time I touched the grass, the whistle was being blown. Sometimes I'd rather not have come on because it was so frustrating. Yeah. I'd come on. Sometimes you got to think, take in consideration that some of the times I'd come on for that 2-3 minutes, Stevenage would be winning. So I'd be sent on to not try and score a goal, but try and see a win and chase defenders down. And when we would win it back, Stevenage, they wouldn't look to pass. They'd look to just get it, clear it, so they can to see out the lead, if you know what I mean. So, you know, nothing's really changed in me. I always give 100% whatever the weather, but I just think that the trust and the faith, I didn't know after pre-season, obviously I scored them, I was top goal scorer in pre-season, and I was hoping, I was thinking I'd love to have the opportunity, and I was given it, and you know, I scored against Sutton, and that's where it all started off really, and yeah, I can only thank the manager and Rich for having the faith in me, because I always knew that there was, I can score goals. I've always believed in myself. When I have been given the time and the minutes, I've scored goals wherever I've played. Obviously, maybe not at this level, obviously a little bit lower, but I've always scored goals. So I've always believed in myself. It was just whether I'd get the chance. And thankfully, this season so far, I have been. Hopefully, I'm repaying the manager for it.
Oh, 100%. You're repaying the manager. You're repaying all of us. It's been so great. We actually have a listener question about this in a second, but you know, we've all been rooting for you, Maddie, like from before last season. You know, Maddie Stevens is a fan favorite. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So I don't want to talk about you being a fan favorite yet. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I just want to say, like, we all kind of believed, like, if Maddie Stevens is given a chance, he's going to score goals. He's going to put away goals. And you've proven everybody right so far. So we are we are elated to see you out there just thriving. And I wonder, Maddie, you know, just from a human level, when someone doesn't believe in you and you know that you're capable, I mean, it's got to be tough. And I just wonder if you hold any grudges, you know, against Mark Cooper for not believing in you. I mean, that's got to be a major motivation for you, right?
Yeah, listen, I don't hold any grudges, but at the same time, it's always nice to prove people wrong and show that, you know, you are what you know, I had a meeting with Mark Cooper and asked, you know, I felt like at one point I deserved to play, and he told me that I would do over the course of the 6 games, and I never did, but it's always nice. I don't hold a grudge against Mark Cooper. He was a good manager, very good on the training pitch, very good technically. But, you know, it just wasn't to be. For whatever reason, I was going into games. I think I can probably speak for a couple of other strikers as well, but I was going into games, you know, thinking that I had a half to score if I did start. I think I've got to score by half time, otherwise I'd be taken off or you know, whether we're winning or not. It was a nice feeling. I found myself a lot of times looking up at the clock sort of thing, thinking, oh, I've got 15 minutes left, 10 minutes left to get a goal. Otherwise, not only would I not, that I could be taken off, I might not be involved for a couple of games, 2-3 games. So it was that sort of, when you've got that on your mind, as well as, you know, what you should be doing on the pitch, I was overthinking things too much, where I wanted to do so well, but at the same time, I was sort of looking at the clock and nice, but, you know, I don't hold a grudge on anyone. It is what it is, but it would be nice to score against Barrow this year.
I was just going to say, we're all rooting for a hat trick against Barrow, but no pressure, but oh man, how sweet would that be?
You had a nice long slide against Steven. If you want to see that slide, like, double.
Yeah, that's right.
You're gliding halfway back to that.
So the Mad Attack, and we got to come up with a good nickname, because it works so well.
For me, it's A-level Mats. Both.
That's right, A-level Mats.
A-level Mats to me.
Maddie Stevens and Jameel Matt. The double Mats, Matt Squared. You guys have formed a beautiful and productive partnership up front. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with your fellow Matt, Jamil Matt, and why is everything clicking so well with you two?
I always wanted to play with Jammer. I felt like the first year he came in, obviously the team got off to a really good start. Not as good of a start as what we've got off to this season, but they got off to a good start and things were working well with him and Aaron Collins. But I used to watch on the side and I'd think I'd love to play up front with him because he's such a handful. Balls go up to him and, you know, even if he doesn't get balls under control, he makes such a he makes such a mess of things can like fall off him or hit off defenders, and there's always chances to play off him sort of thing, even if he doesn't get under control. But then you've got the other side of like yesterday, he's nodding balls down for me to get onto headers and flick-ons, and and then you've got his experience as well, you know. When Jammer speaks, you listen, you know. He's been around the game, he's a top pro, top player, and I'm enjoying every minute playing with it at the minute. And like I said, long may it continue.
Long may it continue. You too. Oh, it's so fun to watch you both up front. It couldn't be like two nicer guys. I mean, everybody loves Jammer. Everyone loves Matty Stevens. So it's such a great partnership all around, like on the pitch in terms of productivity, but also off the pitch in terms of like fan love and like just rooting for you a little bit more because we like you guys both as people beyond players. So it's awesome. I want to go to a couple of listener questions now. Back to some listener questions. This one's from Gamer_21345 on Twitter. He says, can Matty do the Rooney celebration the next time he scores? He's talking about the one where Rooney like boxes and then he like wipes out cold like he got knocked out. I love that one. Any chance you'll do that one in the future?
I'll do it for the fans, no problem at all.
Let's go!
Rooney's.
Oh, let's go. And then another one from Colwick 2009. I mentioned this a little bit before, but he said, the fans absolutely love you. How does this adoration feel?
It's unbelievable. You know, it makes you want to, it gives you that more of that want to go on and do well for the fans. You know, after the game, I walk around the pitch and chat to a few of the fans and their children or whatever. And the fans have been great since I've been here, even when I haven't been playing. You know, they've got behind me. And like I said, it's always nice to get the wins and the goals for the fans as well as myself.
I love that. And I have to agree, you are a favorite. You know, you're so good. You're so gracious, so humble with the fans. I remember my first Matty Stevens moment, which was, I think, two seasons ago, maybe three seasons ago. It definitely wasn't last season. It was either the season before, two seasons before that, I don't remember. But anyway, it was long before this stupid podcast started. But anyway, you scored a goal. And I just replied to it at the FGR post, I think it was, with a personal account that I don't even have anymore because I forgot the login. But anyway, and I think I was just like, oh, great goal from a great guy, or couldn't happen to a better guy, something like that. And then you replied something like, I don't know, thanks so much, means a lot, something like that. And I was just like blown away, you know, by your kindness and humility that you took the time to reply to some random, you know, dude on Twitter. So I guess my question is like, you know, where does that kindness and humility come from?
I mean it from it's lovely to get messages and things like that from fans and things. It do mean the world, and I think I just get it from my mum and dad. You know, I believe I've been brought up in the right way, like I say, I just get it from them really. But it means a lot when fans. When fans get behind you and things, it's just that little bit more special.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I think those pictures with you and your dad together, like we can see the love, we can see the tightness of the bond you guys have. So, yeah, man, it seems like you have great parents.
Nah, listen, my dad's my hero. I wouldn't be where I am today without him. And, you know, I've got friends who could have played football and done things, and their dad sort of didn't have the time for him to take him here and there. My dad was, he took me up and down the country, even to this day. You know, he missed the game yesterday because he was in Newcastle with he's a boxing coach, and he had a few boys in the semi-finals, but
oh wow,
he doesn't miss it. He doesn't really miss a game unless it's Carlisle, but all the home games, Walsall, Bristol Rovers, he'll be at them sort of games, he'll be at all of them games. Leyton Orient, he comes whenever he can, whatever chance he gets. 9 times out of 10, he's there. So,
oh, that's
big.
That's been like
that's beautiful.
Like, oh, you have that support in the at the ground, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So I want to go back to Twitter actually for a second. So what happened last season, Matty? Your Twitter got hacked.
I got hacked. I had Twitter for a long time, didn't I? And I had it on the thing, and it was after a game, during a game. I come in from one of the games, and there was messages, and there was a few there was a few messages to a few famous people on my Twitter. I went on there, and I think someone messaged Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and I thought I'm following him, but there was just like little silly messages and things like that, and I'm not the best with social media and things like that, and so I just thought at the time really I should have just probably reported it and kept the Twitter, but I just deleted the Twitter and thought, right, give it a little bit of a break, and I'll start again.
Oh, I love it. You got to change your password from Maddie1234, all right? It needs to be a little bit more tricky than that.
I had to change it. It was a bit too simple.
That's so funny. What was the message to The Rock, out of curiosity?
It wasn't nothing wrong. It was just something silly, like, you mate, I haven't seen you in a while. And I thought,
That's so weird.
He wouldn't even know who I am.
Wasn't something major like Jumanji sucked or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
It was really weird. It wasn't just him. There was a couple of others, really. But it was probably a close friend playing a prank on me. But he never...
But if The Rock responded, you would have had to keep it. And you would have had to keep going.
If he responded, I think I would have had to keep it and probably munched it and pretended like it was actually 2 minutes.
I love it. I was going to ask if you accidentally posted nudes and then you claimed it was hacked later, but sounds like that's not the case.
Guys, I don't think anyone would want to see that.
Well, speaking of your appearance, we have another listener question here from Roderick. I'm not going to say his Twitter handle because it's ridiculous. But Roderick, shout out to Roderick. You know who you are. Matt. He says, Matt, it's known far and wide that big bushy beard strike terror into any foe's heart and soul. When will you be cultivating yours? Can we see a beard on that pretty little face someday, Matty?
Do you know what? I wish I could. I can't grow a beard. I have my chest, no hair on my face. I can't do it. I've tried my best, but it just won't happen for me. I wish I could grow a beard. I'd grow a beard, shave my hair off, it'd look scary, but it's I'll get a little bit of a goatee, but that's about it.
Well, it's settled, Nathan. When we finally make it to, fully charged new lawn, we have to bring on, like, our best Brooklyn beards, a fake beard for Matty Stevens to
Let's
wear.
Let's go.
Perfect. Yeah. Much appreciated.
Yes. Yes. And we can cut some off and have him glue it to his face during the match. That'd be great. All right. Anyway, so you are the current League 2 Player of the Month for the month of August. An incredible honor. And I mean, just really take a second, think about that. Like, think about how many players there are in League 2. It's just insane to think about that. Like, there's 24 teams. We have 23 players on our roster. I don't know how many other teams have, but let's say that's the average. 24 teams, 23 players on each team. That is, what's the math here? What? Let's see how good your math skills are. What's 23 times 24? Let's check it out.
Me. Don't ask me.
All right, just
A-level maths. Come on, Matty.
A-level maths. 552, according to my calculator here. So 552 players in League 2, and you were named Player of the Month. That is insane. What does that mean to you, Matty?
Yeah, it means a lot. You know, it's I've said it before. It just goes to show the amount of good players we've got in our team alone. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone's won it in our team, and we've got so many good players. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I think there'll be a few win it in the future, and hopefully not in League Two and in the better leagues. But yeah, it meant a lot. It really did. I after the last game of the month, I was sort of saying, I was asking Moons, saying, you know, when's the player of the month going to be drawn? When's it? Oh, but they're bad. Like I say, like, thankfully I got it, and so did the manager, which I did feel was deserved, you know, on both of our parts. So yeah, no, I was over the moon. It was a lovely achievement, and all it does is really, I want to win it again. I want to go and win it again and get another one.
Oh, let's go. I love that hunger. Let's go. And you're right. Totally deserved for both of you. 100%.
It was such a preseason, and it must feel just great to feel validated that quality preseason has carried on and you've won this accolade. So, man, we're so happy for you.
The preseason, I was just hoping and praying. The manager said, obviously, you know, if you do well in preseason, whatever, you'll be given an opportunity. But I've been told that before from other mm-hmm. coaches, and it's not worked out. So I was just hoping. I thought, you know, I've had a really good preseason. Like I said, I was top goalscorer in preseason, and I was just hoping I got the opportunity. And to be fair to the gaffer, he's given me that. So, like I said, I just hope I can repay him in the long run.
I love that. Just a couple more questions here, and then we'll wrap this up. So what is Matty Stevens doing to relax or to have fun? What's Matty Stevens doing when he's not scoring goals and winning League Two Player of the Month awards?
Well, I've got two little boys, and they are a handful. They're honestly, I've had to lock myself. This is the spare bedroom. I had to lock myself in. They was in it, and they'd be swinging the lights. Well, we haven't got any lights. If we had lights, they'd be swinging off it. They can be very occupied, you know. When I come, if I come home from having a bad day, I look at them and I smile. You know, it takes everything.
Oh, beautiful.
It takes all the. You know, if you're upset about a game or anything else, they change your mood completely. So most of my time is rather looking after them. Or I'm down in the boxing gym. I like to do a bit of training still down there. I've got keys to the club. So I do a bit of training down there with the boys. Or I'm watching, I support West Ham, so I like to watch West Ham.
Excellent.
Nice.
Great season, right? Continuing on with David Moyes and great start.
Yeah. No, I used to have a season ticket when I was a little boy at Upton Park. And, you know, whenever they're on telly or get a chance to watch them, I like to watch the Hammers.
I love it.
Your house is completely full of bubbles, right? That you can then...
Bubbles, shirts, programs.
Everything. I love it. Man, the forever blowing bubbles thing, it's the best. It's hilarious too, because you know, West Ham is like, you know, this working class club, and you know, you see these, you know, these guys just blowing bubbles and like singing about it. That's so good. It's the best. I love it.
Good fun.
I love it. All right, we just got a couple more questions here. So you have a long career ahead of you, Matty. You're only 23. You're a baby still. You're still a baby. But what does life after football look like for you, Matty? What are your other passions that you want to explore when all is said and done?
You know what? Like I said, obviously me boys, I'd like to put a lot of time into me boys, like my dad done for me. So if there was any sort of thing they would like to do, football, boxing, that would be obviously a little thing on their side. I'd always back them whatever they would want to do. And then as for me, I always thought if I retired early enough, I'd like to get back into the boxing. But, you know, that depends how old I am by the time I retire. But we got a little my dad's got a family business and that, so I'll probably get into that. A big thing for me away from working and things like that is I'd like to go abroad. I like to go on holidays. I think some of my best childhood memories was going away and going on holiday with the family. So I'd like to do that and see as many as I can.
So yeah, coming that's out of lockdown and everything, is there a place that's high on your list that you want to visit and go on holiday now that the world is starting to, you know, post-vaccine open up again?
Yeah, there is. Like I say, we used to go, my dad used to take us to Florida, to Orlando, to the theme park.
Oh,
nice, all right.
Let's go.
And
so you've been to the States, let's go.
I've been to the States. It's the best, the greatest, isn't it? I love it out there.
We got to see Matty Stevens, yeah, with the Mickey Mouse like hat on.
Oh, I'm never too old for Florida, for the theme parks and that. I love it. So, you know, I had some really good experiences there, some really good childhood memories with my family. So I'd like to take my little boys and my missus out there, and that'd be the place I'd like to go.
Oh, that's beautiful. But you got to stop in New York City and say hi to us first, and then you can go to Florida, all right?
Would like to go to New York. That'd
be another Coney Island. We'll let you. We'll take you on the Wonder Wheel and the Cyclone. That's the famous roller coaster.
That's right.
You'll get your transfer too. We'll make sure.
I'd love it.
So here we go. Last question, and then teammate talk. So how do you want to be remembered by FGR fans, Manny?
I'd just like to be remembered as someone who always give 100% on the pitch for the team, and I'd like to be known, hopefully, by the time I'm finished at Forest Green, as a good goal scorer, top goal scorer. So they're the two things for me.
Ah, beautiful. Well, you are well on your way. If you were to leave tomorrow, you would be remembered that way. But let's hope that's not the case. Long may your career at Forest Green Rovers continue. Take us up to the championship, Matty. We believe you could do it. All right, let's get to teammate talk here. So we're going to give you some descriptions. You tell us which teammate matches the description. Sean, you want to go first and we'll alternate?
Yeah, so yeah, we're just asking you a quick question. Good. Think about it for a second, and whatever comes into your mind, who you think best fits it, name them. Matty? So here we go. So who on the team would you most want to be your corner man?
Maybe corner. I'm trying to think of someone with a bit of brains. I don't know many who's been in, likes the boxing that much. Like, they all like watching it. I'd probably go with Dan Sweeney.
Oh, that's who I would have guessed. And I'm going to ask you a question here in a second. I feel like maybe the name's going to be Dan Sweeney, but not this one. So this. Now my next question is, most likely to prefer to watch a YouTuber boxing match over like last night's boxing match? Who on the team is most likely to watch YouTube over that?
Probably watch the YouTube. I don't know. Jack Evans, I'd say.
I love it because he's the baby.
But they run the table and he's all for it. He really likes the YouTube sort of boxing and things like that. So yeah, I'd probably say him.
I love it. All right, Sean.
You think that's just the next evolution, or you think it's kind of just something else? You don't really mess with too much.
No, I don't. I think it's just like they're always been now people who want to do that, and it's just whether it gets bigger or not. I know a lot of actual fighters don't like it, but you know, I think if people are willing to pay the money to see it, it's always going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah, excellent point. And okay, we didn't plan this ahead of time because you mentioned Dan Sweeney before, but we're going to continue on the theme. Which Rocky character is Dan Sweeney? Which character from the Rocky movie series is Dan Sweeney?
I think Sweeney would probably be Rocky himself.
I could see that.
Every morning, he's, you know, he's not hitting meat because he's at Forest Green Rovers. He's not, you know, hitting the beef in the freezer, but he's running up the steps.
No, I think he's got the Adrian and all that in him as well.
I totally see that. So for this next question, I have a guess who the answer might be, but let's see if your answer matches mine. Who's the player on the team you would least like to spar with?
Who would I least like to spar with? See, Cads and Jack Aitken are the two midgets, so I'm not too worried about them. who would I... Probably Jammer.
Okay.
Big boy. What?
Yeah.
He's the oldest in the team, probably got the most experience, knows what he's doing. So I'd probably say Jammer.
Oh, that's a good shout. That Jammer probably would have been my second guess. I was going to say Sweeney again, because Sweeney's so tall. And again, I just feel like he's like, you know, always in the gym. He's got that boxer mentality. But Jim is a good shout. You're right.
I think Sweeney is all bark, my boy. He's a big bear.
He's a big teddy bear. I love it. Yeah. I love it. All right, Sean.
Okay. So I know sometimes this, I don't know if this happens in the UK a lot, but definitely in professional sports in the United States, sometimes you'll have athletes that'll create a title belt. Sometimes it has to do with like WWE wrestling, but sometimes it's boxing. So who do you think in the FGR dressing room or the change room is most likely to have their own title belt produced and carry it around?
Doty, definitely.
Oh. I love it.
Doty, he called himself the Nigerian Nightmare, so I think he'd make his own little belt, and I think he'd wear it proudly. I think he'd walk around with it, and to be fair, he backs himself, not boxing-wise, but as for like MMA and like grappling and things, he fancies himself. To be fair, Doty or Kane. Kane can have one.
I love it.
Russell's in a change room, and I don't think I've seen him lose yet. So yeah.
Kane. That's such a great boxing name too, or MMA name, either one. But I love it. The Nigerian Nightmare, Sham. When we make our inaugural trip to Nailsworth, we need to come. We need to bring a championship belt with us for the Nigerian Nightmare.
Maddie.
You just gave us we're never not calling Dokes the Nigerian Nightmare now. That's his nickname from now forever.
Oh, competition, like, will think of him.
Sorry, what's that, Maddie?
I said, that's what you like. You know, if I said to him the other day at train, I said, how are you today, Dokes? He said, don't call me that. He said, call me the Nigerian Nightmare. So.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's his name forever for now. I love it. All right. Last question. Who would, like, let's say, you know, all the players are going into a boxing match. Who would be the player that's constantly complaining about the gloves?
Who would be constantly complaining about the gloves?
They're too loose. They're too tight. They're not, they're too many ounces, too few ounces, whatever. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I reckon Taylor Adams.
I love it.
Blown a bit, you know. He's had a couple of little tussles in there. I think he's won one, lost one. But yeah, I think probably tails.
I love it. Oh, well, Maddie, man, this was awesome, man. It's been so cool. So cool getting to know you, man. You know, like I said, you are a fan favorite. The fans are going to love hearing from you, hearing a different side of Maddie. Man, we can't tell you how much we appreciate it and how much of a pleasure it's been just to get to know you, man. You're an awesome dude, an awesome player, but an even better human off the pitch, man. And we're so lucky to have you on this team, and we are so thankful that Rob Edwards has given you the chance to shine, and you have made the most of it, man. So thanks for joining us today, man. Continued success. Keep crushing it. Keep scoring goals. Keep winning Player of the Month, man. I love it. And, man, just a pleasure, man.
Nah, I really appreciate it. Thank you both of you. Thanks to all the fans as well. Like I said, getting behind me and things, I appreciate. And like I say, hopefully by the end of the season, we can have a promotion medal. So that'd be nice, man.
Yes. Let's go! Absolutely. Let's get that promotion
Whenever somebody wins something in the United States, like the NFL Super Bowl, you know where they go? They say, I'm going to go to Disney World, baby!
Yeah. Let's go!
Disney World.
Let's go! When we win League 2, Maddie, that's what you got to say. I'm going to Disney World.
The chairman of like us over Disney World.
Let's go! I love it! I think he can afford that.
Yeah.
Oh. I love it. Well, Maddie, thank you!
Appreciate it, fellas. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Maddie Stevens. Oh, love that, man. Yeah, I said it to Maddie in the thing, but it's so true. Like, it's just like we have the best guys on this team, and it's just so fun to root. Like, look at the front line, you know, with Maddie and Jamma. It's like, are there two better guys to root for? It's just we're so blessed to have the guys that we have on this team. That's a huge shout out to Richard Hughes. All right, let's get to our next chat with Lee from Carlisle. I hope that's what's next. It might be Statman. I think it's Lee from Carlisle. So Lee from Carlisle, awesome little chat. Love talking to Lee, man. What a knowledgeable dude. Let's go. We have on the pod from Carlisle the man most like Gabriel Sutton in terms of his like encyclopedic knowledge of League 2. This man has a fact and a tidbit of info about every team in League 2. He knows more. He's forgotten more than Shaman I know. No question about that. We welcome to the pod Lee from the Carlisle podcast, the Brunton Bugle, or as we like to call him, Carlisle. Wait, no, I don't know. I'll fix it. I'll work that in somewhere. Carlisle, whatever. Anyway, Lee, thanks for joining us, man. Awesome to see you again.
Great to see you again, Lee.
Yeah, no, great to see you guys as well. It's nice to catch up, although I think it's fair to say our team's performing in very different ways at the moment, unfortunately, compared to when we last spoke.
last time we spoke, you guys were just soaring. It was looking like Carlisle was going to run away with it. And then there was like kind of I think you guys were like first and you had like 20 games in hand or something like that. Or I don't know if you were first, but you were near the top and you had a million games in hand. Yeah.
I think it was the top of the table clash, wasn't it, when we played in December?
I think it was. Well, we played the first time we played, I think it was in, it was over Christmas because I was driving home for Christmas to see my family. I remember, like, I actually drove through a town called Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and I took a picture of it. Oh, and I actually listened to the whole match in the car driving. My wife had it, like, pulled up. She had the video on so she could tell me what was happening. That's right. Yeah. It was a clash of the Titans, but then actually we both kind of fizzled out after that.
Yeah, we had a rough stretch too.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just gonna say basically what happened was we were top of the league on New Year's Day after we beat Walsall, and we were flying. And then we had a couple of games called off due to weather, and I think it was a power cut at Harrogate. And then COVID hit. And I think about 16 players in our squad got COVID. And wow. Some of them got it bad, some of them didn't. And then the backlog just kept building up and up. And we got to the point where we actually 12 weeks in a row playing Saturday, Tuesdays, and it just crippled us.
That's too intense. That's an insane schedule.
Yeah. Well, before we get on to talking about Carlisle away, heading for all of our fans heading north of the wall, before we talk about that, how was Barcelona? You were just in Barcelona.
I was, I had my first foreign holiday since about 18 months, actually, it was. Last one I went to was Krakow, so I thought, I'll do Barcelona. I'd been before, but I'd only been for a few days. And it was a really nice trip. It was nice to get over. We were supposed to go to Barcelona against Granada on the Monday night. We got tickets on when we arrived because we didn't realise tickets were going to be available. But that night, it absolutely poured down. And when I say poured down, I mean it was like biblical. It was pretty much water running down the street and... neither of us packed waterproofs, and our seats were right up in the gods, up in the high tiers. And you've ever seen the Newcomb? There's literally only one stand that has a little bit of a roof on it. We thought, do we really want to sit there and catch a cold and feel miserable the rest of the holiday? So we sacked it off in the end, which is a shame. But if I hadn't been before, I might have been more inclined. If I'd been on my own as well, I probably would have gone on my own. With my fiance there, I don't think she would have quite appreciated
being something. Yeah, made the right choice. As two married men, we can say
pretty kind. Yeah, you made the right choice. does that also explain why you don't have a tan, Lee?
Yeah,
all the cloudy weather in Barcelona.
I'm a very stereotypical pale, pasty English northern person, so I don't tan very well. Let's just put it that way. I burn. I don't tan essentially. So, but yeah, no, it was nice. I did the museum and the tour of the New Camp, which was good. So, good trip.
Oh, I love it. When I went to Barcelona three summers ago, I think. But yeah, it was summertime, so there were no matches. So unfortunately, I couldn't go see a game. But man, what a beautiful, beautiful city, Barcelona. No secret, everyone knows it's a beautiful city. So go to Barcelona if you haven't been. Lee, we also got something else in common. We are both now local TV celebrities.
Yes.
We were on the local Gloss BBC. You were on the local. I guess what was it? It wasn't Carlisle, was it? Your local BBC playing foosball?
Yeah, that was about, that was 17 years ago. It was when Euro 2004 was on, against England against Portugal. And I played foosball against a guy who ran a local Portuguese restaurant on breakfast radio. They made me play a match against him. What I didn't know until afterwards is that apparently every little cafe in Portugal has got those tables. And I barely played before. So he absolutely battered me. And then he
got smoked.
But you know what? You had the last laugh, or at least Greece had the last laugh that year, right?
That's right.
They did, yeah, in the end. So yeah, that's my. To be fair, I've been on TV a few times, and yeah, it's being on local TV over here. It's one of those sort of rituals as you obviously you've got to appear in the paper or on local TV at some point. So
I love it. Yeah. Oh, I love it. Well, let's get to Saturday against Carlisle. We travel north of the wall. North of Hadrian's Wall. Actually, I don't know if the stadium is north of Hadrian's Wall or not.
It's literally about probably maybe half a mile, quarter mile south of it. It's where there's northern part of Carlisle would technically be in Scotland if Hadrian's Wall still existed today in the same way. But Carlisle itself is about 9 miles from the border.
Yeah. Okay, so
I'm not a history scholar, but thankfully Ronald Reagan said tear down Hadrian's Wall, and so yeah. Now.
Okay, so we won't have to deal with the Wildlings north of the wall then, but we are going to go just to the wall on Saturday. So first question, Lee, and most importantly, for all of our traveling away fans, what's the best bar? Where's the best bars that they should go?
Oh, good question. Well, if you're coming up on the train, you come out the station and you come onto a street called Botchergate. Now, to sum up Botchergate, on a Friday and Saturday night at 7 o'clock, they've got actual gates that close so cars can't go down the road. Because basically so many people getting drunk and coming out of bars. People are getting hit by buses and things like that. So the easiest thing to do is close the street off until like 6 the next morning. And basically you walk across the road and main street. So there's loads of pubs and bars down there. Some of them are better than others. You've got your bog standard Wetherspoons pub. There's two Wetherspoons within like 100 yards of each other. That's sums up that road. You've got to walk about there. You chain pubs like that. But there's some other interesting pubs that I probably wouldn't recommend, like the Caledonian and the Border Rambler. Quintessential, very rough English pubs. There's a pub called the Cumberland Inn, which they have a full-on rave at 1 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
Wow. Maybe Dale Vince got one of those in the early 90s. We don't know. He might have been
proper electronic hard music. It's honest to God, it's just one of...
I'm sure Dale's been there.
Someone once described it to me as being like the cantina of Mos Eisley. That's how they described it. It's really kind of the sight you see. But now, in terms of actual pubs near the Carlisle, the Beehive's an obvious one. And when we play against the likes of Preston and Hartlepool's and you know, people who are basically rivals to us, if you want to call them that, away fans aren't allowed in there. But I think against Forest Green, I'm pretty sure fans will be allowed in the Beehive. It's literally across the road from the ground. Next to the ground, you've got the rugby club as well, which is really welcoming, really nice place to go as well. So they're the two obvious ones, really. And in town, there's a Brewdog bar as well now, which a few of us go to. So
hey, Forest Green over sponsor.
Yeah, there you go.
Brewdog.
Lots of decent pubs to go to. I had to mention Brewdog, because my mate Greg will be listening to this, and he always likes to give them a plug, because he's one of their shareholders and very much into Brewdog.
Oh, let's go. Shout out Greg.
Shout out
to everywhere too, man. I'm originally, Sean and I live in New York City now, but I'm originally from the state of Ohio, which is a little bit west of here, a few states west of here. But anyway, I went back to Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, that's
right. I want to say, I don't know how long ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that. Anyway, and I saw a Brewdog pub in Columbus, and I was like, whoa. And I guess there's a bunch all over the states. I had
I'm sure they've got a brewery in Columbus now as well. I'm sure they've got a big brewery there too. In a hotel.
I think they do. Yeah. And I know there's one in Cincinnati as well, in Cincinnati, Ohio. So they're everywhere, man. So Brewdog's taking over. Let's go. Sean and I could have used some Brewdogs yesterday, because yesterday we watched the match and we actually had a FGR fan from Israel who we've met through the pod. Via Twitter or whatever, and he was in the city, and we're like, oh, you gotta come over, we're gonna watch a match. So I don't know why we thought it'd be funny to buy like the worst American beers and drink them with him. So we got the worst American beers we could find and drank them and watched FGR yesterday. But anyway, we could have used Brewdogs. But back to Carlisle. So tell us about Carlisle. What's happening this season, Lee? Yesterday they lost 4-0 to Sutton, who just got promoted. So what's the story with Carlisle so far this season?
It's not good, basically. We're not good to watch, for a start. Biggest problem is, last season, first half season we were brilliant, second half, not great for various reasons. COVID definitely had a big reason on that, in terms of, you know, players struggling to recover from the quick and having to play those 12 weeks in a row, Saturday, Tuesday games. But at the same time, the manager didn't really adapt his tactics or make changes to reflect the fact that we were struggling so much. He just ploughed on with his way of playing, his way of us doing things. And he's a very direct manager in the way he wants us to play. We play a lot of long balls. But basically what we do is we play long balls to get the ball forward, and then the final third we try and play a football there, basically, rather than trying passing out from the back all the time. We're not a fancy team in that sense. Problem is, over the summer, we lost quite a few players in terms of we didn't offer great contracts by all accounts. So, I mean, Josh Coyote went back to Rotherham, who we had on loan. Mm-hmm. He was on 6'4". He's the one who had the huge throw in as well. And he,
yeah, the long thrower.
And he, I think he had, like, in terms of winning aerial duels, I think he was like something like the fourth or fifth best in the division. And he was the best performing striker, which probably tells you how important he was to us. So he's gone back, yeah. And we've not replaced him with any sort of tall striker or anyone who's going to give us an aerial threat. We've got some good technical players. We signed a lad called Zach Clough, who he was at Bolton Wanderers back when they were in the Championship about 4 or 5 years ago, and they sold him to Nottingham Forest for £3 million. He's one of the next big things in football. Didn't work out for him at Forest. He had a few injury issues and other things like that. He's dropped down a bit, but he's come to us, and in pre-season we thought, wow, we've signed a real player. He can actually play. He gets the ball down. He plays nice little triangles and things like that. He's a number 10, basically, which we didn't have before.
Mm.
First game of the season comes. He picks up an injury in the warm-up.
No.
So he had to be replaced in the warm-up.
Oh,
and then
the worst.
We had the issue with... He looked like we were going to try and play a bit of football, but then Clough got injured, and he's basically reverted back to us going direct, and we haven't got the players to play that. We just haven't, and as a result, we're not dominating games the same way we did last season. Losing our vice-captain to Moneybags Wrexham on the opening day as well didn't help. They basically came and bid for him.
So another reason to hate Americans. The two American stars.
That's right. Yeah, Wrexham's taking everybody, man. It's crazy.
It's insane the amount of money they're spending. I mean, the rumour is he's basically more than doubled his wage to go there. So
wow.
We can't compete with that. Realistic, we run a really tight ship, and essentially we spend what we can afford. And if we can't afford it, and if a club comes in with a decent offer for a player, we've got to let him go. We lost a player to Bristol City for the same reason. And basically, we feel like there's a good squad there, but it doesn't feel like the manager's using it the right way. He's basically sticking to the way he played last season and doesn't seem to be clicking on that it's not working. And he's persevering with that, even though the fans are saying it's hoofball, it's bad to watch. And lots of fans have said that since the weekend, I'm not going to bother going next week because it's not enjoyable. I mean, we went 2-0 down at the weekend, about 40 minutes in, and someone got chucked out with some sort of incident down the end of the stand at Sutton, and he was getting marched out in front of us, and some smart aleck behind me shouted, "Can you chuck me out as well, please?" And
then
another person shouted.
I'll have what he's having.
Yeah, I'll have what he's having. Chuck me out too, that's funny. I saw that you also there was a red card for Mampala, which I was a little bit disappointed about because I was hoping he'd play against us, because I want to use like the pun Tame Mampala, like the band, but
yeah.
Now I've been working on that for months, and now it's all out the window.
Yeah, you lost that one. Yeah, he signed him from, well, he was released by QPR last season. He's one of these young players who's played in the under-23s for a few years, and he's just never played first team football, and he looks raw. And he looked very raw when he came on, and he was just running about, and he got one booking, and he probably should have, calmed down a bit, but ended up getting himself sent off. So, but by that point, the game was lost anyway, so it didn't really make a difference.
So I want to ask you, Lee, what do you think we, as four Screen Rovers, what do we need to do to get all 3 points on Saturday?
Turn up. Everyone was saying after the game that it's the worst possible game to have up next, because we don't look confident and we look like a team that's struggling. And everyone's saying that we're playing top of the league, and we all know you're a good side. Everyone said last season probably the best side we played. And we did our pre-season preview episode, obviously, just before the start of the season. And all three of us on the pod put you guys to be in the top three. I put you to finish top. That shows the confidence I mean, how good you are.
Wow. That's why you're invited. That's why you're invited back.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
But we all said that the key thing is you've kept your squad together mostly, and you've added good young players to that. We've done the same, but we've got a manager who's not looking at the squad and the best way to use it. To be honest, as long as you get the ball down and play a bit, there's every chance you'll cause those problems. And if you just let us deal with humping long to our 5'8", 5'9" forwards, and if you've got big enough defenders to win the ball in the air, then yeah, you'll probably be fine. It's one of those ones I could quite easily see us now going and winning it 2-0 or something like that, and putting an incredible performance in, because that should be typical Carl United. That's just the way we do things quite often. But none of us are going into this game with confidence. And the bookies' odds will reflect that. They'll show that you guys are the clear favourites. And there's a good reason for that. We just don't look like a team that's going to win games at the moment.
But yeah, you said they're lacking confidence, but hey, you somehow you eke out a draw or get a counterattack goal and take all three. I think that could really shift the momentum, shift your season. But I'm hoping that doesn't happen, Lee. I'm hoping that doesn't happen. Sure. So let's get your prediction for the match, Lee. What do you think is going to happen?
Very rare I'd say this, but I'm going for a defeat because I just cannot see how we win it. 2-1 defeat, I think. Mellish will probably get the goal for us. He was our top scorer last season from midfield, having been converted as a defender, from a defender to midfield. And he'd never scored for us before that. And he scored 17 goals that season. But he's a bit of a battering ram. He just bundles about the pitch. But he's got better as a player. But he's the only one who looks like he cares at the moment. So he's the obvious one to score for us. But yeah, 2-1 defeat is the only thing I can see at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, well, I like to hear that. Or maybe I don't. Maybe that scares me. But Sham and I are obviously going to predict a win. We've never not predicted a win. But to be fair, I mean, we have this Forest Green Rovers team. I mean, last season there was a lot of inconsistency. This season it's not been the case. We've been very consistent. We really just had one game out of the nine that we've played that we haven't really shown up for. That was the Port Vale game at home. Outside of that, we've been good. Even in these draws, like, you know, the draw yesterday against Tranmere, I think, you know, we were the better side. We had the better chances, and they're just an incredibly tough team to break down. So I am feeling confident, going into this one simply because of that, because of the consistency. Rob Edwards has these boys believing in themselves, believing in their abilities, being, you know, courageous enough to take chances. And like you said, you know, we've kept basically the same team that we had last year. We've added a few really key players. Also, apologies if you can hear the siren in the background. Can you hear that?
Yeah, it's fine.
But... New York, baby. Welcome to New York. But anyway, we've kept pretty much the same squad. We've added some really key players, and I think we've got a big upgrade in manager with Rob Edwards this year. He's just, the boys have looked switched on every game. They look confident. And we're playing with one of our best players, too, in Dokes. And Elliot Whitehouse, who was so important for us last year, also in the midfield, also has been injured all season. So we're doing it without, you know, a fully healthy squad. And it's just been so fun to watch. So many goals scored too. It's just, they're scoring for fun out there. We've had, I think, four clean sheets in a row now. Yeah, against Tranmere, Stevenage, Northampton Town, and Exeter City. So four clean sheets in a row. Our defense has it together. I'm feeling confident too.
I think you're gonna make it 5, to be honest. Now you've said that, I'm feeling even less confident.
Oh man,
you're welcome.
But yeah, that's right. But that's the beautiful thing and the funny thing of soccer or football is, you know, anything can happen. Anyone can beat anyone.
Our predictions don't mean anything. Yeah.
What's that?
Our predictions really don't mean anything. We're always optimistic for our club and our.
That's true. We're still American dummies, so we don't really know what we're talking about, but. In our dumb American optimistic opinion, I'm confident in taking three, even though it's a pretty long trip for the boys.
And one thing about lower kind of lower division, I'm saying not lower division, it's, you know, professionals, but kind of lower leagues in England is the seasons are so long. So I feel like even if you have that rough stretch, whether for Carlisle it's right off the bat, you know, this season, last year we at Forest Green had that like miserable like January, February into March stretch, which we were able to turn around into a playoff berth. So it just feels like there are enough games, but you know, it's hopefully, you know, for you guys, like the manager and the actual players can get on the same page. Just not this weekend. But.
That's right. To be honest, I think it's a game he's got to get a result from. If he doesn't get a result from, I'd be amazed if he survived. I think he'd be gone.
Wow.
Although the director of football really likes him, he's the one who effectively appointed him, so he'd have to admit his mistake, basically. So whether he will do that or not, I'm not 100% convinced. Mm. But after Saturday, most of the fans have turned against him. They've had it.
Wow.
That's pretty quick.
which is incredible. You think last season we were making flags for him and things like that.
Just
shows how quickly he can turn.
Exactly. It's a funny old game.
I don't know about you, Lee, but it's a pastime in the United States that when your team is in a bad way, you're not quite sure. We're big stress eaters in the United States, myself included. So what do people in Carlisle, if teams are not going well, or you had to go out, or you had a tough match, you got to go out and, you know, eat your troubles away. What are people eating in Carlisle?
we also have the famous Cumberland sausage, one of our foods. Obviously, it's quite a spicy sausage, but it's in like a spiral ring. It's quite an interesting one. That's very nice. There's not really that many Cumberland foods in that sense. Obviously, we're quite famous for our sheep, so Herdrick lambs, very nice. That's it, really.
Do you ever get any of that Scottish influence? Whenever I think of like Scotland, I think of the fried Mars bars. Has that made its way into Carlisle? Are you like an outer post of that?
Carlisle's a strange place, and since we do get quite a few sort of Scottish people, like from the Scottish, because Glasgow is about an hour and a half, 2 hours on the train away. It's quite a journey, and there's not a huge amount of people living in the bit between Carlisle and Glasgow. But you still get quite a lot of those people come to Carlisle for a night out across the border because it's the only big city really nearby. So there is quite a bit of Scottish influence there. I mean, one of the pubs on Watch Again, I mentioned before, is the Caledonian, the Cali, basically. So Caledonian obviously being Cali. Filled in.
You said that was one to avoid.
Right, I did say that, yeah. So same as the border Rambler as well, obviously, that's another one. So there you go. There's a bit of Scottish influence there, probably not as much as a lot of the people living in Carlisle would like to admit. Like, we're quite precious about the fact that a lot of, when you go to away games, people think like you're just a bus stop in Scotland or something like that, and things like that. So people like to say we're Scottish, and we're very defensive on the fact that we're not. So.
We got to wrap it up there from our end. Lee, thank you so much for joining us, man. Best of luck this season. I hope you guys turn it around, because I said it to you offline. I told you, like, you know, the Sutton Carlisle match, two teams that have a soft spot in my heart. I do have a soft spot in my heart for Carlisle. So I'm rooting for you guys to turn the season around. I just hope it happens after Saturday, Lee.
Might be the only way we do. If the manager's gone by then, but you never know with these things.
Lee, thank you so much for joining us, as always, man. Such a great time catching up with you. Follow the podcast at Brunton Bugle on Twitter or wherever you get your pods. If you want to follow Lee himself, at Lee Rooney. If you want to challenge him to foosball, go for it. He's not any good.
Yeah.
But Lee, man, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
Cheers.
Thanks. Cheers.
Lee from Carlisle, a.k.a. Carlisle. Awesome to chat with you, Carlisle. I almost called him Carl. His name's not Carl. His name's Lee. Lee, thank you for joining us once again. Great chat, as always. Always good to catch up. I hope we can catch a match together someday, Lee. That would be so fun. I hope the stars align and we play Carlisle when we're in town. I do have a soft spot in my heart for Carlisle, and it's mainly because of Lee. Shout out to Lee. All right, let's get to Statman. Return of the Stat. It is Return of the Stat. Return of the Stat. Here we go, Statman.
I'm a
Statman! Man, Chris Latham, Statman, it's been too long.
It's been ages. How you doing?
Statman. It's been ages. Oh, doing great, man. How are you?
Yeah, good.
How was the summer?
Yeah, it's good. I just like to spend too much of it inside because of COVID and isolation and stuff, but other than that, it's fine.
Yeah, you had to isolate for your wife, right? And then you had to isolate for yourself?
Yeah, exactly. So I lost like 20 days of summer. The British summer doesn't last long. You've got to seize the opportunity when it's there, and I didn't get that chance. 20 days out somehow.
Oh, that's brutal. Yeah. Oh, and I'm loving the Lewis Thomas shirt in the background. Oh, yeah. Shout out Lewis Thomas. That's from the famous game, right?
Yeah.
When you wore the kit?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, what a hero.
I didn't normally have it up. I put it up especially for this to give the illusion that Stat Towers on Stat Island.
Yeah, blended in there.
It just hides the skanky wardrobe where my home desk is because I'm still working from home a lot of the time.
I love it. Stat Man. I'll play the intro music. Return of the Stat. It is Return of the Stat. I actually don't know any of the words from that song. He's British, right? Mark Morrison?
Yeah, I don't know. I knew that it comes on, like if you go to a wedding or something, it might come on. And then everyone knows that one line. Yeah. And then after that, it's like, no. Like, you know, when people like,
come on, why don't return of the Mac? You lied to me. Oh, I know that part too. But I spent my sin of doubt you. You lied to me. But I do. But I do. Anyway, that's all I know. Anyway, Return of the Stat. Statman is back. Statman. Oh, man. It's so good to see you, man. We've been, I don't know. This is on us, actually. We've been so busy. We haven't coordinated. This is on us. It's not on you. Oh, man, Statman. But yeah, it's good to see you again. Good to see your face again. When can we expect to see you in the new lawn again?
Oh, well, next Sunday, I'll be there.
That's cool.
Women's game, FA Cup.
Let's go!
And then I'll be there, hopefully more often now. Post-COVID, let's go.
Let's go. Yeah, you've had a rough start. The women's game, I think, it's happening now as we're recording. I've been actually recording for the last 3 hours, so I think it happened. We had Maddie Stevens first, then we just talked with Lee from Carlisle, and now we got Statman saving the best for last. But I have no idea what's happening in the world outside. Did we win?
It was a comeback Kings or Queens, I guess technically, but 2-0 down at halftime to Torquay, ended up 2-0.
Oh wow, let's go! But all right, 2-2 draw, comeback win. We will take that. We will take that all day. So Sunday is the FA Cup.
Yeah, next Sunday.
And that's when you'll be there.
Yeah.
Let's go. Also, I'm seeing here Arsenal are winning 3-0. What?
Is it 3 now? I saw it's 2.
Hold on. No way. Is that true? Yeah, 3-0. What? 3-0 in the first half? What's happening here? Arsenal winning anyway. Wild stuff. All right, anyway, let's get back to business here, Statman. First of all, before we get into your stat, what are your thoughts so far on this season?
It's wow, isn't it? Like, what a start. Crazy. Yeah. The best start we've ever made. We just look really good as well. And then it started off really good, didn't it? Now we've added in the defense.
Yeah.
Like they say, goals win games, defenses win titles. We've got both. So clearly we're going up.
Oh, yeah. Four clean sheets in a row. Hoping to make it 5 on Saturday. Oh, man. That's it's crazy, been, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Bringing it all together, scoring goals and keeping them out. That'll win you games. Oh, I love it. So
yeah, it's been good, hasn't it?
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say it's been really good start. Amazing start, really.
It has, man. We couldn't wish for a better start. And there's got to be, you know, tough days ahead. You know, you expect that in a 46-game season. But we're enjoying the good times now. And hopefully, long may they continue, as you say, in the UK.
Yeah.
Stat, man. Let's get to the stat. What is our stat this week, Statman?
So, like this season has been all about the returns, hasn't it? The homecomings, the back to, you know, where it all began. Ronaldo at United, Lukaku, Chelsea, Odegaard at Arsenal. Like, that one's probably not as... But United is, like, Ronaldo has been, like, the big talk, hasn't it? But at Forest Green, we've had, like, Stevens coming back, like, to a degree. I know he's out on loan, but it feels like he's come back. Aitchison's come back. Mark.
Yeah.
Like, had all this stuff going on. And, like, there's a lot of talk about how quickly they've sort of got their goals, you know? Ronaldo, just 45 minutes. And then, like, Stevens has put his name forward, hasn't he? 30 minutes to just, you know, score again. Lukaku beat it, which is a bit cheeky, 15 minutes. But Charlie Rowland's in the women's team, FGR women's team, 1 minute.
And that, let's go!
Like, that's ridiculous, isn't it? 1 minute to get on your second debut. That's got to be, I can't prove it, but it's got to be the fastest second debut goal of all time.
Let me just check the official. Beep, boop, beep, boop. It is. It's verified. official. That's amazing. Let's go. Say your name again for all the people at home.
Charlie Rowlands. I hope I'm saying
Charlie.
It right. I'm terrible with names. So, yeah, she's,
I think that's right.
She's come back to Forest Green. She's took yeah. 1 minute. You know, first game of the season, 1 minute, back of the net. That's a way to start a season, right?
And, yes.
Yeah.
And I think Charlie's also a Forest Green, like Rovers, like men's team fan as well. If I'm not mistaken.
She is, yeah. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure that she, during her like university, maybe helped out with the men's team as well.
Oh, wow.
So like, yeah. So 1 minute, amazing. The comeback of all comebacks, 1 minute, just beating everyone else. Ronaldo, forget it. Lukaku, move on. 1 minute.
Let's go.
Amazing.
Let's go. So, that's beautiful, man. We got to have Charlie on the pod.
Yeah. Get her on. It's like amazing, isn't it? And then, you know, it all ties in. The women's team, I think, are making big steps forward. Like, they've mm-hmm. stepped up leagues. You know, what a time to kind of, like, see it. Like, we're at the start of something special, potentially. Like, the men are doing, you know, blazing a path forward. It feels like the women are on that, like, for early steps. You know, they've brought a lot of the women's team into the men's side, haven't they, at Forest Green, and made it, like, one club, which is the right thing to do, I think. Is it Dave Hennessy, I think, is like head of the women's football, overseeing a lot of changes. Chris Hicks in charge, manager, and they're sort of moving forward. And I think next Sunday as well, the fact that the women are playing at the new charge, new lawn in the FA Cup, it's like an amazing time, isn't it?
Yeah.
So everyone should get down there. We should all, you know, all go and show our support and watch the game. I have it on good authority as well. One of their players, I won't name, because I don't know whether I was allowed to name them, said they're definitely going to try and put on a good show. So,
Let's go. Oh my goodness, I love that. Yeah, so we want to promote the women's team on this pod as well. So we are planning to have, well, we haven't asked Chris Hicks yet, but we're planning to have you on, Chris. I know you're a listener. No, I don't think you listen to the pod. But anyway, Chris Hicks, we're coming for you. And we're coming for some of the players too. Charlie might be an excellent one because, first of all, I think she's like an OG FGR, you know, supporter, but also the stat that you just dropped, I think that kind of should make her the inaugural women's team player that we get on the pod, if she's willing to come on, if she's not too big for us. But I love that.
Really, like, yeah, like, I'm just amazed, right? Because if I tried to put on my football boots again now, I probably couldn't make it to the goal line in, like, inside a minute. So, kudos, you know?
Yeah, that's insane. I want to see a video of that goal, too. We're going to reach out to Charlie, see if we can video that. Oh, man, I love that stat. So, listen to Chris Latham, Statman. Get your butts to the new lawn. Is that the new lawn?
Yeah. At the new lawn next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
2 o'clock.
2 p.m. UK time. Get your butts to the new lawn. Go support the women's team in the FA Cup, baby. FA Cup. I love it. Chris, Statman, so good. So good to catch up, man. So good to see your face. I love this stat, too. It's a brilliant stat. And it's a little known fact as well. So I'm so happy you brought that up. Let's get rolling for the women's team too, man. Like you said, they're doing huge things. I was bummed I couldn't follow today because I've been on Zooms for 3 hours. So I was bummed I couldn't follow today. But I'm definitely planning to follow moving forward. Awesome stuff, Stat Man. Any closing remarks?
No, it's just good to speak to you. Keep up the good work. Loving the episodes. I'm catching up at the moment because I like lost my routine with having COVID and stuff.
Well, Statman, thank you so much. As always, great to catch up. We got to do this more often. We got to make this a regular thing. We've also been, like, Sham and I have been so busy lately that we haven't been able to record as much as we have wanted. So, but now that we're trying to get, we're getting back in the groove of things, getting more regular, we got to get Statman to be another regular guest. I love it, Statman. Cheers.
Yes.
Statman! Statman dropping bombs of knowledge and wisdom and stats. Ah, so good. Just so good to catch up with Statman. I love the Statman. Chris Latham, baby. And what a stat he shared. Shout out to Charlie Rowlands. Man, shout out to the FGR women's team doing huge things, as Statman mentioned. We got to fill the new lawn, man. We got to fill the new lawn next Sunday for the FA Cup. We got to. It's a huge match. The women's team is doing big things. They are growing. We got to be there to support them just as we're there to support the men's team. So get out to the new lawn next Sunday for the FA Cup match. Thank you, Statman. And we're going to hopefully get some of the women's players on the pod in a future episode. So look out for that. All right, last but not least, let's get to our man, Shai Yazdi, from all the way to Israel. We recorded this after a few too many really crappy American beers, so I don't even know what's gonna come out here. But anyway, take it away, us and Shai from the past, from yesterday, Saturday afternoon after the game. Boom!
Never edit the Heaven's Devils motto. All right, let's see. Well, okay, we can keep it a bit further away. It's huge audio. I don't know why it's doing that.
Shimmy, classic.
Wait. Our go-to.
See how the sausage made. All right, we are here with the one, the only, Shai Yazdi, also known as Shai Yazdi by people who know how to pronounce his name. Shai, welcome to the pod.
Shai. Thank you. I'm a huge, huge fan of the pod. I'm really happy to be here between Nathan and Sham, and our good friend Ben is also right here.
Benny!
Just watch the game.
Yes.
First day in the city.
Yes.
First thing Cheers. To do, watch the game with the Heaven's Devils podcast.
Perfect.
Exactly.
And drink crappy American beers. Beer. Cheers. Yeah.
We gave him the right welcome by providing Shai with natural light.
The worst the American beer. It's But so to back this up a little bit, Shai told us he'd be in the city. Whatever date today is, I don't know what today. What is today?
Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah. This is what natural light does to a
We got a few too many natural lights. Anyway, so Shai told us he'd be in the city, and we were like, "Oh, awesome! You think it'll correspond with the match?" And he's like, "I'm gonna make it correspond with the match." And boom, it corresponded with Tranmere. So we're like, "We got to meet up. We got to hang out." First of all, Shai, what are you doing in the U.S.?
What do I think of the U.S.?
Well, what are you doing here?
So me and my wife.
Oh, let me back up actually. First, in case you don't know, Shai Yazdi is a massive, massive Four Screen Rovers fan from Israel. He had a really big appearance, two appearances actually, in our international fan video last year. One as himself and one in the band where they sang Take Me Home Country Roads.
Yes.
And Shai, what are you doing here in the U.S.?
Okay, so me and my wife, like always, wanted to go to the U.S. to travel. We did a really, really nice road trip from Washington State down to Colorado.
Wow.
Through Montana, like we first headed east, and then we headed south. Mm-hmm. We didn't go to any big city, just like hiking. Every day was either a long drive or a long hike. It was so beautiful. The U.S. is so beautiful. I never expected it. I never expected
the people can be quite ugly. But no, the landscape is beautiful.
I wanted to say the opposite.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was really, really surprised with how nice and how friendly the people are.
Oh, that's
because
awesome.
That's something I didn't get from, like, I know America through like pop culture, movies, TV series. Mm-hmm. Like when I was a kid, I watched like many American TV series.
Yeah.
And I never got how nice and how friendly American people were.
Wow.
It really surprised me.
Yeah.
Like I really, really love it.
You're in New York City 5 minutes, you're drinking a natural light.
Yeah.
How much nicer can you get?
Cheers. 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 Cheers.
Yeah,
cheers.
Actually it's better than the piss beer we have in Israel.
Okay, all
Let's
right.
Let's go. Piss beer.
You heard it here first. American piss better than Israeli beer.
Yeah, definitely.
Jimmy, this takes us back to our early days of recording too. When we first started recording, we huddled around one laptop, which we're doing now. We were very drunk, which we are on our way to right now.
I think I'm already there.
Let's go. So first, Shai, how did you become a Four Screen Rovers fan? Why did you become a Four Screen Rovers fan? And how long have you been following the boys in green?
Okay, so
maybe it was the boys in black and white, depending on how long you've been watching. Anyway, go ahead.
I started like with you guys. Only last year started following really closely. I've been vegan over 4 years now, almost 4.5 years.
Wow.
And I'm really, like, I used to be an activist before COVID. Like, it's really burns inside me. I don't know the English phrase, but.
Yeah, no, it's perfect.
Yeah, I'm there for the animals.
Oh, I love it.
I think it's really important. And when I heard there was a vegan team, an environmental team, I loved it. Like, I used to follow the results, like just say, really like you guys. Mm-hmm. And then only last year, I said, okay, I love football. I love, and it's COVID now, I can follow League 2.
Yes.
And wow, it's so much better than I thought it would be, League 2.
Yeah.
I went to a League 2 match like 10 years ago.
Wow, really? Which match here? Which match was it?
It was AFC Wimbledon against Port Vale.
Port
Vale was the huge team back then. They got promoted. It was the first home win for AFC Wimbledon in the Football League.
Wow.
So I went with a Wimbledon supporting family.
Wow.
It was a great experience.
Yeah. So what was your take on encountering English League 2 stadium atmosphere?
Wow, I loved it. I really loved it. it's quite funny because the Premier League prices are so high.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Right.
Like, I went to a Tottenham match the same week.
Ooh.
Yeah, originally I'm a Tottenham supporter. This is my Premier League team.
Sorry.
For a very long time.
Yeah.
So me and another Tottenham friend from Israel.
Yeah.
We went together, and he's British.
Okay.
So we stayed there with his parents' friends.
Nice.
In Wimbledon, in southern London. And we went to, they took us to the game, and they told us, like, League 2 is so amazing, like, you can get such cheap football, just £15 for a ticket.
Yeah.
And this year I was I had a season ticket in Tel Aviv, like, my local team, Maccabi Tel Aviv.
Oh, Maccabi, okay, nice.
Do you know it?
Yeah. I've seen them in the Champions League before.
They're always in the Champions League.
Yeah, they're always losing.
In the early, they're always in the group stages, and they're last place in the group stages.
Exactly. So, this is the regular ticket price for the best team in Israel. £15.
Oh, nice.
And here it's for the first tier.
Yeah.
And it's cheap. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
Like, not here, but in England.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So back to the original question. I just love FGR's idea.
Yes.
And then I started, I actually played in the Football Manager.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
But I had the 2017 one, the promotion year. And I didn't really have patience to play it regularly. I just like played with Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid and gave all the money to FGR.
Let's go. Perfect. If you can somehow figure that out in real life, somehow funnel and launder money from Real Madrid into FGR, that'd be awesome.
I love it.
The offense doesn't have to know a word about it or Henry.
So Shai, favorite player, favorite FGR player.
I think it's Ibu.
Ibu,
why? I love Ibu Adams.
Why is that? I love it.
Firstly, I love his energy.
Oh, yeah.
He is brilliant energy.
Mm-hmm.
He always gives 100% of his energy of himself.
Yeah.
And he plays, now this year he plays more of a number 10.
Yeah.
But he's a number 8, and last year he played more of a number 8. And when I used to play soccer for Maccabi Tel Aviv, my local team, I was a number 8.
Oh, let's go.
This was my position.
Shai was a young Ibu Adams. Let's go.
Yes, you see a little bit of yourself in Ibu every Saturday.
Something like this.
I really love
Ibu, but I love all the guys. Like, the lads are brilliant.
Yeah.
What a great group of
awesome.
Like, players, like, you know, soccer skill, but also best, human beings.
Oh, the best humans in League 2. Gotta be.
Gotta be.
So, second to last question here.
Yeah.
What did you think of the game today? We just finished watching Tranmere Rovers versus Sports Green Rovers. Oh, you can hear the ice cream truck in the background.
It didn't get more New York City than that.
Yes.
Mr. Softy is rolling by.
So, what do you think of the match today, Shai? As we're pounding these crappy American beers.
Okay, so I drank a lot of beer. I had some American bagels.
Yeah, I had some American bagels. Let's go.
How was your first New York City bagel? That's what we're famous for here.
So much better than I expected.
Nice.
So good, and also this vegan cream.
Yeah, the vegan cream cheese. Yeah.
So good.
Let's go.
It blows my mind. You have such better vegan products than in Israel, and yet it doesn't strike me as a very vegan option, a vegan friendly place.
Country, yeah, no, it's not.
The country as a whole is not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But New York is somewhat of a safe haven for vegans.
Wow, it's so good. I love the bagel. I love the piss boo.
Yeah, piss boo. Cheers.
Here we go.
And the game, I thought it was quite fun. I loved watching it with you guys. You all guys are my heroes.
Oh, Shai, you are a hero. You are a hero, Shai. Yeah.
And I really just enjoyed the experience, and it was not a lot happened in the game. We had a
yeah. But, you know, it allowed us to get to know each other.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the upside. Even though there was a whole lot of action, we got to spend some time together.
That's a good point. It was perfect, actually. The perfect game for us, because we got to hang out and talk, because there wasn't a lot happening.
Exactly. And I think we have a really good connection. I really like you guys.
Hey, cheers again! Hey, cheers!
We did not pay Shai to say that.
There's not a gun to his head right now as he's recording.
Just one bagel.
Just one bagel.
Yeah. a gun of carbohydrates. A carbohydrate bullet is in it right now.
So last thing here, Shai. You were a legend last season with your band.
Yes.
So, Country Road.
Country Road. So can we all go out together singing Country Roads?
Oh, of course.
I don't remember your lyrics, but we'll figure it out. Here we go. Okay.
One,
a two. Benny, you want to get in this? Let's go. Benny's getting in.
All right,
let's
get in here, Benny. Chorus. We got the full chorus.
Here we go. A one, a two.
I can play it on the piano.
You can?
Play it on the
piano. Oh, let's go.
Play on the piano. An out of tune piano. Let's do it.
All right, I got an out of tune piano here in my living room.
I'm a guitar player, but I can try.
All right, but you gotta sing too. Up the Viking Rovers. That was the first thing you said. Here we go. A one. Oh, wait. Two. You good? You ready?
Yeah, kind of sit.
Get in here, Shimmy.
The club on top of the hill.
Let's go. The little village team. I thought we were going to sing up the... take us home, Country Roads, because we don't know all the other ways.
I'm also confused in the chords.
All right.
So let's do it without a piano.
All right. One. I'll put the music in the background later. Okay. Here we go. One, two. One, two, three. Take me home.
Country roads to the place I belong, to the new lawn. For Screen Rovers, take me home. Country roads,
up the Viking Rovers! Thank you, Shai. Thank you, guys.
I loved it.
Shai, man, so great to meet that guy. So great to meet Shai. I hope that's not the last time we meet. It's not going to be. We're going to meet that man someday again, hopefully in Nailsworth. All right, well, let's wrap it up there. It is just me because my man Shimmy Cakes, Shami, Sham Boss, Cake Boss, is unfortunately... Wait. Oh, he just texted me. All right, never mind. Anyway, he's busy right now. I'm holding down the fort for him, but he'll be back. Well, we'll do this all together next week again. Anyway... I guess it's just me. It's just me. So I'm going to say to myself, up the Viking Rovers. We are FGR. And you know we got to raise hell. Praise hell. Yeah, brother. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for the questions, too, by the way. Thank you for your patience, too. Because it's been forever since we recorded. We can't tell you how much it means to us, guys. We really appreciate it. Let's keep the momentum rolling into Saturday, baby. Beat Carlisle. I love it. Let's go. Up the Viking Rovers. Show up next Sunday to the New Lawn for the women's game. Boom, we out, baby.